If you can go to Galatians, I'm going to be reading from Galatians. Speaking on obedience today, I got to say this has been the most difficult of all of the series that I've done. I thought it was going to be easy. I thought I could just get up and tell you what to do for 20 minutes. And somehow the Lord wasn't blessing that. And I was getting nothing. And it's been a real challenge. I'll be honest with you. Some of the keys are very much in my life. The stuff of the Holy Spirit, the Word, the cross. And some be more of a challenge. This has been the biggest challenge of the lot. So let's see how it goes down and see if there's anyone left at the end. Okay, so we're looking at Galatians 5. Father, bless your word. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to read from verse 13 to the end. Okay, good to go. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's the verse I wanted to pull out of that. Since we live by the Spirit, since we have the Spirit within us, since the Spirit gives us life, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's walk with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Obedience. Like I said, a tricky subject. It's basically, the way I see it, is a key. Obedience is a key. Because obedience is the connection between what God wants to do in our lives and what he's able to do. It depends on our obedience. There's many, many scriptures where it says, and this is what you should do. You are blessed if you do it. You are blessed if you are obey, if you obey. I love the very start of Jesus' ministry in John, really, at the beginning of his miraculous ministry, where Mary says to the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. And they did what he said, and the whole place was blessed. It's such a simple picture. But obedience is the key. Obedience releases God's power, blessing, resources, and kingdom. This is why it's so important. Isn't it amazing how God involves us in his plans, as sort of puts us right in the middle of his plans? He wants to work through his people. He needs obedience. And as we walk with the Spirit, he will give us opportunities for obedience. This is, obviously, you can go through the scriptures and there are loads of, there's commands, which we'll come to the main commands later, but there's lots of guidance. Even in the section we just read, there's lots of guidance on how to live. There's lots of stuff from scripture saying how we're to relate to each other, how we're to deal with our resources. But there's also the sense that as the Spirit prompts you, you have an opportunity to obey and to show obedience. And sometimes it might be quite easy, and sometimes it may be quite hard. Personal story bit. It was very, very hard for me to believe that God was calling me to be pastor of Woody. Because when I first had the call in 2006, and I tried to be obedient to it, and it didn't result in actually going into ministry, that was a very difficult time for me. And as I've shared before, I'm only doing this briefly, but as I've shared before, the thing was that I didn't stay talking to God about it. I didn't get an idea of timing. The word was right, the call into ministry was right, but I didn't go back and check timing. I just stepped out in what I thought was right. And sometimes God will give you opportunities for obedience when it's very, very, well, not inconsiderate of him, but it's very inconvenient. I don't know if you've ever been rushing anywhere or had to do something, and then you've just felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You thought, you're having a laugh, Lord. Don't you know what I've got to do? Don't you know how I feel? A while ago, I was doing a talk on the Holy Spirit, and I showed a picture of Bristol Airport, which was quite random, because I didn't say anything about it. I just said, that's Bristol Airport. It's always to keep, you know, it's just a test to keep people awake. Now, I was going to tell a story about Bristol Airport, but I didn't have time, so I'll mention it now. I was at Bristol Airport just to pick up, this is quite a few years ago, to pick up my daughter and her then husband come back from Paris. So I just had some time to kill. I was in a very, very bad mood. Unusually bad mood, you know, unusually I'm such a lovely fellow. I was in a very, very bad mood. I was having like ginger plus. There's a man at the front with white hair. Why is he talking about ginger? You had to be here 20 years ago. Ginger is a condition of the heart. Anyway, so I'm really not happy. I'm just like, I'm in a real grump and I'm really hungry and all the food's rubbish and they're not selling it anyway and blah, 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 blah. And I've just got myself into this and... And then there's this guy cleaning. I'm at the end of a row of tables, and there's a guy cleaning the tables, and he's really getting under them and doing all the dirty stuff and everything like that. And God, I just get this prompt from the Holy Spirit. Tell that man he won't always be doing that. Oh. Father, not only is that the most patronizing prophetic word I've ever heard, but that is in itself is reason not to say it. What sort of idiot am I going to sound? This poor guy is cleaning and me sitting there, you know, reading The Guardian and drinking my coffee. And I say, oh, you're always doing this. Oh, man. That was a vexed time in Bristol Airport. I took ages. I went off for walks. I came back. And then I just had the sense that he was saying, you know, there's something else as well, but you've got to tell him this. I tell you, if the cameras were on me, I'm amazed the security didn't pick me up. I was doing anything rather than talking. This guy's getting nearer and nearer me, right? He's getting nearer and nearer me, doing the tables. I'm shifting in my seat because I know the Lord's on it. He's not going away. Ah. And I thought, I'll go and wash my hands, and by the time I come back, he's probably gone. So I went in. I was drying my hands for about 20 minutes. I blistered them practically. Thinking, how long have I got to stay? You know, people are going, like I say, the camera going, can we get two cameras on this guy? Because this is very weird, you know. Anyway, I came back and he'd gone. And I thought, oh, There we are. Couldn't have been right. Couldn't have been right. So I sat down and read my paper. The guy came back with his lunch and sat at the tables that I've been cleaning. That he'd been cleaning. I was like, you're having a laugh. Isn't that a staff canteen? I went up to this guy. I tell you, man, a word has never been given in such dejected lack of faith. I went to this guy. I said, hi, how you doing, mate? He's on a busy 12-hour shift. He's got 10 minutes to eat a sandwich and a paper. He's like, I'm all right. Yeah, I've heard from security about you. You're a nutter. Yeah, I said, sometimes we sort of get words. Let me just say it and run, because you get to that point. Can I just say to you, I just felt God has said to me, you won't always be doing this. And he put his paper down, and he goes, And I said, and I also think that your future is something to do with education. And then I'm thinking, that's just because I've read something in the... Anyway. And he said, wow, that's really interesting. He said, I'm from Zimbabwe. I'm actually a qualified teacher. I was a senior teacher over there. And I had to come to this country as a refugee, and I've had to just work and get whatever work I can. But I'm really trying to get back into education. I'm really teaching. My jaw at this time. I said, thank you so much. We prayed together. We just prayed for God's will to be done. I was buzzing off that for about a month, because the sense, just not just of speaking into someone's life, but the sense of that. But listen, this is the bottom point I'm making. The obedience cost. The obedience cost. But there was a blessing for the guy. So I would encourage you to say, Lord, I want to walk with you today. Use me. Okay. We obey because we love God. You see, this is what I'm struggling with in this talk. That obedience releases the power of God. And it is a key. But that's not the whole picture. Let me just do a quick thing about just going back to this idea that we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Just a bit of practical stuff. How do you do that? How do you walk with the Spirit? How do you walk with God? Because God wants to walk with you. So it's daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? This is great. This is corporate. This is right. This is spoken of in Scripture. Do not give up meeting together. The whole, when you worship together, all stuff. This is good. Meeting together. But there's your daily walk with the Holy Spirit. There's your daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit. However you do that, you need to work that out for yourselves. I find that my worst time is first thing in the morning. It's almost like I'm not saved anymore. I wake up, another day, and I have to go, okay, God, okay, you're still there, I'm still here. Please fill me, please use me today. Regularize time with other Christians to check on your walk. This was the radical thing about the Methodist movement. When it moved in such power, they had times when they met together and they just shared into each other's lives. So home groups, triplets, particularly in the smaller ones. Honest with each other. And regular Bible info. I read recently Proverbs 2:1. Oh, is that 2:1? Yeah. And it's about wisdom, and it's all about getting wisdom. And it says, I have stored up your commands in my heart. I thought, that's awesome. That's what you're doing, you read the Scripture. You think, why am I reading that? And it goes in. It's like food. It goes in, it feeds you. You know, you might not need that bit of food today. It makes a muscle. You need it later. You need to get Scripture going in. You need to get Scripture going in. Store up that within you, and the Spirit can use that. Psalm 32. I love this because this is the heart of the Father and how He wants to work with us. I will instruct you and teach you in the way. Oh man, that's personal tuition, isn't that lovely? I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Just soak in these words. This is what the Father, the Lord of all the armies of heaven, the Most High God, the one who always was and always is, the one that created things by His word. This is what He says to you individually today and for the rest of your life. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. We can walk together. We can do this. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Don't be like the horse or the mule. Have no understanding, controlled by bit and bridle. That's the law stuff. That's the whole legalistic stuff. I've done this. I've got to give my money, because if I don't, God will. This is the fellowship. This is the heart of God. That word counsel, it's advise, plan, consult. and purpose. In the Hebrew, there's a depth of meaning to that word. And it's interactive. How good is God? That's how he wants to walk with you. That's what he's called you to. And that's what he equips you to do. Okay. But really, the heart of this is about love. I heard a great example yesterday of the difference between sort of, you know, obedience because it's right and love, you know. So I get, this isn't my illustration, I thought it was quite good. 9th of July is our anniversary. I turn up, come on with a bunch of flowers. Jan said, that's nice. What's with the flowers? I was reading about anniversaries. I understand that it's best for the husband to get a bunch of flowers for the wife. So here's the flowers. 10 minutes later, while I'm pulling the flowers out of various orifices, here's another picture. Here's a bunch of flowers. Why'd you get the flowers? Because I love you, and it's an anniversary. Okay? The action's inspired by the love, the heart, not the duty. Duty has a place. Love is awesome. God loves us. He gave us his son. Quick catch-up, this is. Gave us his spirit, put his Holy Spirit within us. Gave us all we have, all the time we have. This is why it's so important to be stewards. Gave us all the money we have. This is why it's so important to steward it. This is why it's so important to realize that it all came from God. And he could have kept it all, but he's given it all to you. He said, what are you going to do with that? Just go to the Lord. Here's the real key. We obey because we love God. And in fact, that is that's the heart of the whole thing. Okay, so Matthew 12. Someone says to Jesus, what's the most important commandment? Bit of a legalistic thing there, isn't it? You know, what's the most important one? So if I keep that one, I'm all right. Most important one, answer Jesus to this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. No commandment greater than these. In John, he later said, after washing the feet, he said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. Which is like that focus into the fact that by your love for each other, they will know you. Okay? But let's have a quick look at this commandment. It's called, in Jewish thought, the Shema or the Shema. It's this awesome thing in Deuteronomy 6. This incredible statement. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, with all your mind and strength. And Orthodox Jews will say this twice a day, and they'll have it written down, and it'll be in the things that the phylacteries that the Orthodox wear. I was at a mosque on Thursday night. It's okay. I'm. You know, it's all right. I'm staying with this one. But I've been invited to the Dar Es Ulra Mosque in Wyvern Road for a multi-faith thing, and there were three speakers: a rabbi, the minister from Mini Street Independent Welsh Congregational, and an imam. And they spoke on the theme of Moses, and the idea was to get a subject that we all agreed on as the Abrahamic faiths. And speak on Moses. I remember the Islamic teacher said that when he was reading the Hebrew Bible and he saw the Shema, it blew his mind because there's a very similar thing in the Quran about this devotion to God. It's an incredibly powerful, important thing. But for Christians, it's about letting the love of God, letting the love of the Holy Spirit work through us and soften our hearts so we love God. And really, it should be the sort of basis on which we do everything. Let me just read you a bit of what the Hebrew meanings of these words, because they're so deep and it's so all-consuming. So when it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, what the heart alludes to in the Hebrew is, it's in the midst of things. It's the center, it's the soul, it's the heart, the mind, knowledge, thinking, reflection, memory, inclination, resolution, determination of will, conscience, the heart of moral character, the seat of your appetites, the seat of your emotions and your passions, the seat of courage. So you bring all that to the Lord. All of that to the Lord. And in all of this, we're only reflecting what Christ gave for us, which was everything. And then it gets to the soul, the self, the life, the creature, the person. That which breathes, the breathing substance or being, the soul, the living being, the person, the individual. Again, this thing about the appetites and passions, the activity of the mind, the activity of the will, and the activity of the character. And then the strength, I love this. I think this might be my new favorite word. Strength means muchness. How cool is that? Who'd know there's a Hebrew word for muchness? Force, abundance, exceedingly, force, might, exceedingly, greatly, muchness, with muchness. And finally, from the Jerusalem Bible, resources. So part of your strength is resources. Is there anything left? To love God with all that you are. That is the first call. That is the heart of obedience. That's the talk. That's the talk. Because I don't think there's any point really in trying to... It's almost like you sort of dig that to death. Here's the heart of it. The thing that was in the Old Testament, the most important part of that. That Christ has said, this is the most important, this is the key commandment, and everything will flow from this. I just want to encourage you to seek God individually and say, here's my heart, Lord. Here's all that I am.